Governor Deval Patrick's veto of expanded gaming legislation last year seemed to put an end to the ongoing debate about casinos in Massachusetts. But guess what, everybody? It's back! A new bill being filed today would allow three resort-style casinos and one so-called slot parlor, a provision that the governor had previously opposed. And this bill was drafted in consultation with Patrick's office. Joining us now to talk about today's development is WBUR's Martha Biebinger. And Martha, you're up at the State House. What are you hearing about this new bill?
This new bill, Adam, does have three resort-style casinos in three regions of the state. As you mentioned the bill last session, the main difference is that this time it would allow for one slot parlor, meaning a racetrack that could now accommodate video slot machines, and that would be competitively bid. The expectation is that this bill would create somewhere in the range of 12 to 15,000 new jobs once all of these facilities are up and running, and that it would bring in $300 million at least in licensing fees and $300 to $500 million in revenue annually.
These licensing fees, that's money that goes to the state, right? Where would that go?
Well, yes, it all goes to the state. I mean, the hope is that we're going to see a lot more local aid. This is what so many mayors are hoping. A lot of it will go to transportation. Some will go to mitigate problems at the local level, meaning cities and towns that might experience some additional need for police and fire and such, or roads and sewer issues. Some will go to offset the impact on cultural organizations, both locally and at the state level. They spread this money around a lot. The main source is to local aid.
Yeah, all monies that we're hearing from the governor's office are in danger more than ever now that the federal stimulus money, which had been propping up states across the country, is kind of running out. Is that why they're debating this again now?
That is definitely part of the motivation. There is a sense that this was going to happen sometime. And as you said in your introduction, Adam, it didn't happen last year. And that left many lawmakers feeling somewhat embarrassed, frankly, as they met with constituents around the state. Now, that's not to say that there are not still some very hardcore opponents and that they won't make their voices very well heard. But it is a more and more difficult argument to make in this period of recession when people really are looking for new revenue and so many people are unemployed.
Who's lining up to grab one of these new licenses should the bill pass?
The Mashpee Wampanoags from down in the southern part of the state are very likely to negotiate a compact with the governor. That would be their first step, and to bid on a license. They will not, under this bill, have any preferential treatment, but there is some expectation that they would be allowed to open a casino in some form once the state allows casinos. So to keep them in that group of three licenses issued is the preference from State House leaders. Then you certainly have the Mohegan Sun group out of Connecticut that have been negotiating with various parties in western Massachusetts, but there are also people. I talked to Senator Stan Rosenberg, who's from that area earlier today, and he said he thinks there are people coming out of the woodwork and that, in fact, pretty much every major casino developer in the country is now taking a look at Massachusetts because, by Senator Rosenberg's estimation, this is the last major market in the Northeast that's not yet allowed that kind of gambling activity.
Well, we're going to hear from the opponents of this new gambling bill in just a moment, but first of all, just tell us, what kind of a reaction is this getting up at the State House? Does it have legs?
Well, it's a slow reaction today because everybody's outside enjoying the day. But I think that there is, as I sort of suggested earlier, there's some relief that this issue might finally be resolved. And as you'll hear in a minute, that doesn't mean that the opponents have given up in any way. But I think that the plan by the leaders is to deal with this at the beginning of September and move on to other issues that they think really need a lot of attention, healthcare and redistricting and such. And many lawmakers here are on board with that plan.
Martha, last question. Did you feel the earthquake up on Beacon Hill?
I thought I was having a seizure. I couldn't figure out what was going on. It was very weird. Thankfully, I don't think we have any much damage or injuries up here. But yeah, it was creepy.
I bet it was creepy for us too. WBUR's Martha Biebinger reporting from the State House. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, among the opponents of expanded gambling is Scott Harshberger. He's former Massachusetts Attorney General. Mr. Harshberger, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, it's nice to be on. Thank you very much.
Well, I guess I should just start by asking you, did you feel the earthquake?
Actually, I did not, but people in our building did, and many people came down. It's like one international place, so it apparently shook everybody a bit. And then we have an office in Washington, and that was closed, of course. So it's, you know, this is supposed to happen in California, not happen here.
Well, maybe also not happen here, but it seems like it's going to be, is expanded gaming in Massachusetts. Your first line reaction to the fact that this bill has come back up on Beacon Hill and that it seems closer than ever to actually becoming law.
Well, it continues to amaze me that this state has such a hunger for expanded gambling. We already gamble at one of the highest rates of anybody in the country. But frankly, to have a bit of the gall to introduce this in the middle of August with nobody there, at a time behind closed doors, to once again signal that, you know, we're going to have very little debate, very little dissent, an even greater likelihood of improper influence by these major casino developers and racetracks who will absolutely make a fortune. And then to believe that somehow Massachusetts is going to get a major economic benefit from this, when all around the country, states that have dramatically expanded casinos and slot machines have major budget deficits, have major problems, and here we are in one of the few states that has a strong economic recovery record and apparently very proud of it, a lower unemployment rate. Obviously, we need construction jobs, but there's an unemployment rate with strong assets for real long-term economic development, and the fact that we are using expanded gambling, which will absolutely ensure a wealth for the owners of these casinos, will drain resources from cannibalized local businesses, drain the lottery, have huge costs that no one has yet analyzed, is to me both frustrating and amazing, because...
Well, actually, Mr. Harshberger, Mr. Harshberger, but there's quite a bit that you said that I would just like to sort of get your thoughts on. One is that, I heard you say that you're dismayed that this bill is being introduced in the doldrums of August, where no debate is being had, except for the fact that, you know, this is not the first time that such a bill has come up.
Right.
Many people would say that the debate has been had again and again and again, and there's no new argument here.
Well, that's very interesting, because the fact is we've not had an independent cost-benefit study, even though it was promised by the governor in December of 2009. And the fact is the last 2 years have been very bad years for casinos generally around the country. We've seen bankruptcies in other states, and I guess my point is, where is the updated information? You'd hope that people would want to have the most up-to-date information and not simply rely upon the arguments that have been made by advocates to date. But more importantly, here we are in Massachusetts, which has just gone through public outrage over a string of public corruption cases that you'd think would have convinced the governor and the legislative leaders to ensure public review, oversight, and comment on this bill before it came out with their stamp of approval. I mean, who in the legislature, except perhaps some Republican minority members, are going to oppose a bill that already has been endorsed by the governor, the speaker, the Senate president, so that they want to get it done now so they can get on with other, quote, more important business?
Now, on that point, Mr. Harshberger, originally when the casino debate first started many years ago now, Governor Patrick was well on one side of the issue in terms that he said, I only want the resort-style casinos. And House leadership with House Speaker Robert DeLeo said, yes, that plus a multiplicity of or two or three of the racinos, the slot parlors in places that would be closer to greater Boston. They seem to be coming closer and closer together now, reaching some kind of compromise on that issue. For you, it's just no expanded gambling whatsoever. Is that correct?
No, I have two ideas about that. One is, look, if we have a broad, open debate, this is a democracy. And if you sell this on the basis that we need it for entertainment, that we ought to have it because other states have it, and we understand the costs that we absolutely are predictable, In terms of addiction and cannibalizing local businesses and all the other impacts it will have. And we understand and we look at least the unforeseen consequences and put in place a regulatory and enforcement structure and have a full and open debate about whether Massachusetts really needs this as a major economic development tool or whether it's being pressed mostly by special interests and which will profit from this, then so be it. But there's never been that kind of broad debate. You remember last year it happened on July 31st. There was a, and the only reason it crashed was because of pure greed. It wasn't because of public input. Nobody asked the public's view about whether they had one slot machine or two. And the fact is that you can't, this is like Lay's potato chips. You can't have just one. This is this irony that we're going to debate about three casinos in three different parts of the state when almost every city thinks they're going to get one. And every racetrack believes that once they get one slot machine casino here, they're going to get others. That we should at least understand that we are setting ourselves up for a major effort to try to limit effectively and constrain these policies. So it's a major step we're taking, and I think that people are taking, I believe they're taking it much too lightly, because you just look at other states and can see that while there are revenues and there are some jobs, no doubt about it, there are also major other costs and predictable and unpredictable consequences that we frankly have not even remotely addressed in Massachusetts. We do not have the enforcement and regulatory tools to withstand this kind of an influx of money and politics without major corruption and improper influence, in my opinion.
Well, given that, and also given the fact that this bill seems closer than ever to passing,
right,
what is your strategy and expanded gambling opponent's strategy for fighting it this time around?
Well, I guess I hoped a little bit public education might do it. That is, if in fact, two things. One is, I think I would like citizens to realize this is going to happen now. We're on the verge, and if they support that, so be it. But the fact of the matter is, very few people understand the details of this. There's been no real long-term public debate about this in terms of awareness of what the potential impact could be. And so I do hope that people will begin to hear, understand that what's about to happen in terms of the impact on this state. They may not agree with me or with others who have seen this in other states. They may not agree with the opponents of this, but I wish that some of the members of the legislature would at least be willing to stand back, take an independent perspective, and think about what's in the public interest here as opposed to what is simply short-term economic benefit and revenue streams.
If I may just ask you one last question on this, your argument about the short-term economic benefit.
Yeah.
I've heard many gambling opponents, expanded gambling opponents, say this, and there are competing numbers about how much revenue would actually stay in the state versus how much would go out. All of this requires, you know, extensive decision-making on the part of regulators on Beacon Hill. But given all that, you know, at the same time, I in the past have spoken, for example, to many members of construction unions, especially in central and western Massachusetts, service sector workers there, who say, you know, even if it's only a year or two of additional work, because that's how long it would take to build one of these casinos, or for someone who would be a cook or a waitress at one of the future casinos, they're looking at this and they say, this is exactly the time that we need it, because it's our families and our unions and our sectors that have been hit especially hard in this recession.
And I agree completely, and I feel deep sympathy and pain for them. But I wonder why in Massachusetts the best we can do is offer them casinos and slot machines as a solution to a problem rather than think about investing in both short-term and long-term infrastructure work in terms of bridges, roads that we desperately need, in terms that we need to oversee. Why do we think we're going to have this gold mine at the end when other states that have gone through this, it has not solved their budget problems, it's not solved their employment problems, and it introduces a whole other range of regulation and costs at a time when we are barely can manage to regulate. We certainly didn't regulate the Big Dig. We can't regulate transportation. We can't regulate our swimming pools. We basically can't oversee much of anything. And now we're about to introduce the most powerful casino owners in the world with money and politics coming into play in this state for no measurable benefit. We ought to support the construction jobs. We ought to support service workers, but we can do better than offering them simply a regressive tax and casinos and slots is a way to do it, in my opinion.
Scott Harshbarger is the former Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and currently Senior Counsel at the Boston law firm Proskauer Rose. Mr. Harshbarger, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And just to reiterate, if you felt the ground shake right before 2 o'clock, you weren't making it up. There was a 5.9 earthquake centered in Mineral, Virginia, felt up and down the eastern seaboard as far north as Burlington, Vermont, and Boston, and also in Martha's Vineyard, where the president is now monitoring the situation. And this quote we have now from the White House press pool, and this is not a joke, quote, at 2 p.m., the president of the United States missed a putt from several feet, tapped it but missed again, and then picked up the ball and moved on.
Cool, even in the midst of an earthquake.
I know. And in that spirit, moving on, coming up next, you've heard of the freshman 15? Well, now consider the divorce 21. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.